3 women don't climax from intercourse. 4 out of 10 women have problems with low desire, lack of orgasms, or even pain. So we're not alone in this respect. And that's where it calls for being creative and open to other means of connection and intimacy.
Yes, be creative and explore different options. Because I mean, everybody's body is different. Everybody's likes is different. And something that you like now doesn't mean that you're always going to like that. You know, it's okay to explore other avenues. If something's causing you pain right now, it might not cause you pain forever.
Hi, and welcome to the Endo Babe podcast. I'm your host, Chelsea Bree. I'm an ultrasound tech turned endometriosis coach, positivity and self-love advocate, a 7 on the Enneagram, and I am a proud dog mom. And I'm on a mission to help you live more positively with endometriosis and be happy in your body. On the Endo Babe podcast, we're going to dive deep into all things endometriosis, mindset, self-love, health, and so much more. This is a badass podcast for badass endo babes, and I want you to leave this podcast feeling inspired and empowered on your own health journey with more confidence and the belief that you too can have more good days than bad. Are you with me, babes? See you in the podcast.
Hello, loves, and welcome to another episode of the Endo Babe podcast. So today's episode was a lot of fun to record. I chatted with Debbie Elzia, who is a psychotherapist and love and sex coach from Colorado. She really specializes in positive psychology, female sexuality and empowerment, tantra, and really just understanding the masculine and feminine dynamic in relationships to improve and create loving, sexy relationships with your partner. I mean, I chatted with her on 3 separate occasions over the last couple of weeks, and her energy is, you can just tell she cares so much. I was going to say her energy is infectious because she just, you can tell by the way she talks about her husband and her relationship, her clients, the work that she does. Like, she is just fucking lit up about the work that she's doing and the relationships that she's improving or helping other people improve. And it was just a lot of fun talking to her today. We really focused on emotional connection and how improving emotional connection can improve intimacy, right? And the importance of having open communication, especially when you have endometriosis, right? For creating safety inside of a relationship and improving that emotional bond inside of that relationship to really magnify and electrify intimacy, right? And I say intimacy instead of sex because intimacy, it can be all things, and all of those things are important in a loving monogamous relationship. It's important in any kind of relationship, right? But in a sexual relationship, I guess I want to say. But it was a really fun episode. And I know I had a call with her. I just did one of her free calls. She offered a free call for the podcast. And we just chatted about, because there wasn't anything specific that I was feeling like Eli and I needed to work on, but something that I didn't realize that I was doing was trying to be a mind reader in my relationship and just kind of falling into the day-to-day normalcies, I guess you'd call it, right, of our relationship, and not really getting curious about how we can explore our sexuality more, right? And so she like gave me some questions to ask Eli to just like dig a little bit deeper. Like, does he have any fantasies? Like, things that I probably should have asked, but I didn't. And so that was really fun, like doing that this weekend with him and then chatting with her today. And it just like, I don't know, it goes to show that having that open communication in your relationship can strengthen it on so many levels, not just like sexually, but emotionally and mentally. And I know like Eli's my best friend, but I also, I don't want that ever to go away, you know? And she mentioned in the podcast being your spouse's forever girlfriend, right? To kind of keep that fire and that intimacy connection going throughout the lifetime. And that's, I mean, what something that I want with Eli. And not saying that we don't have that right now, but I mean, you can always try new things or get curious about new things. It was just a fun conversation. And I think you guys are actually going to enjoy it. It's a little bit different than what we normally, or what I normally share on the podcast. But we're branching out. It's 2022. We're adding more guests and talking about different things this year. And I am not different bad, right? Because everybody, I mean, almost everybody, right? I can't say everybody, but almost everybody wants to improve their intimacy, emotional connection, and sex lives with their partner. And we talked about some barriers with endometriosis. And so I think you guys are going to enjoy this episode, but I'm going to quit rambling. And I'll see you guys in the episode. And welcome to another episode of the Endo Babe podcast. I'm so excited. Today we have Debbie Elzia here. We're going to be chatting all about relationships and sex, and specifically starting with the importance of open communication in relationships and how it ties into our lovemaking and our relationships and just our overall quality of life. So welcome, Debbie. I'm so excited that you're here.
Thank you, Chelsea. Yeah, we've been chatting quite a bit lately. It's nice to be back a second time.
Yeah, I know. We've been chatting quite a bit. I just really enjoy your perspective on things. So I'm excited to chat a little bit today. I know previously we had talked about like focusing on the six different things that are necessary for like a good solid relationship and for good quality lovemaking, right? But today I really want to talk about the emotional aspect of the relationships and specifically the importance of open communication in relationships. Because I know for me personally, and this is something that I preach a lot to clients and just people in general, is people aren't mind readers. So they don't know what you want unless you tell them. And I know that this is something that I've had to work on with Eli, right? Is my fear of opening up and sharing things. And it's something that's hindered my past relationships. But obviously I don't want it to hinder my marriage. And so having to work on that open communication to just strengthen my relationship with my husband, right? And I know that a lot of people that have endometriosis are probably in that same boat as I, where we feel like a burden. And so we don't want to share things. And so then, or if we're in pain, you know, like we kind of like put our needs on the back burner instead of just asking for what we want. And if we would just ask for what we want, it would open up that relationship even more and strengthen our bond. And so I'd love to just kind of dive into that. I know that that's something that you preach, is the emotional aspect of sex is probably like the most important, right? Because sex and intimacy starts with the brain with women. So I'd like to just chat about that a little bit today.
Yeah. The brain and the heart, I like to say, no, we don't. It's like our drive for sex isn't normally felt like in the genitals, like a hunger, like it is, you know, often for a man, particularly a young man. It comes from our hearts, our head. If we feel safe, if we feel emotionally connected, we are much more likely to feel in the mood if we're getting quality time. I mean, the classic is that, you know, women crave romance, and it's for a reason. We like to feel connected. We like to feel chosen in order to open up. And a way to increase our desire is also to look at lovemaking from the view of, instead of like having sex, which seems kind of goal-oriented and orgasm-chasing, right? It's like a goal. Or a duty or something like that. It's about making love. And if you could gauge it by, does this feel pleasurable to me? Then it's successful, right? It might not always be orgasmic, for instance. Let's make orgasms optional so that we can enjoy the journey, which ironically makes it more likely to happen. So, but if we can focus on feeling love, pleasure, connection, enjoying touch, then if we look at it as making love, we're much more likely to be in the mood. And if our relationship feels good and close and connected, also that fuels our mood.
It definitely does. And I know, like, part of that being able to, like, open up to your partner, and like you said it yourself, is like creating safety, not only in your relationship, but in your body. Because when you are living with a chronically painful condition where sex can be painful, orgasm can be really painful, you're just in pain in general. It creates these like signals of danger in our body, right? And so you're constantly living in like a state of fight or flight. And I mean, I know something that's helped me is like talking about that and learning about it, but also like opening up and sharing that with Eli, right? And so that we can make wherever we're having sex at the time, right? Or our intimate times, we can make that safe for me and my body and him. And it just makes the whole experience like that much better.
Yeah. But it's nice that you have that openness with your partner, because it otherwise, if you were to just be shut down and not in the mood to have sex, to make love, if he doesn't understand that it's because of the pain, he might take it personally. And sexual rejection is a kryptonite to a man, because men frequently, most men feel loved through the physical bond with their woman. And if they are shut down regularly without the explanation that there's a biological reason behind it, he's going to stop trying to seduce you. For one, he'll give up, because who wants to feel rejected? But then also, you might notice this, that often, for especially for a male lover, the key to his heart is not his stomach. It's about 10 inches below. And when a man feels sexually satisfied, that his woman desires him, that he's flooded with these bonding, loving hormones, that's when you're going to get the best emotional connection and intimate communication and such out of him, is if his heart strings basically are open. And often the way to that for a man is through sex with his woman.
So what advice would you have for somebody who, say, like in the past, they've like shut down their partner over and over again because of pain, but they haven't really told their partner that that's why they keep being shut down. They just assume that they know, right? And so then you guys start bickering more and more and more, because instead of a relationship, right, you guys are more of like roommates. Like what advice would you have for somebody in that situation?
Yeah, over the long run, roommates won't work. Because when the sexual bond is cut off, as you just mentioned, usually the affection starts to dry up, and the closeness, the loving behavior starts to dry up. And often that's replaced by bickering, resentment, anger. You know, people that feel sexually deprived don't exactly show up as their best selves often either. So it's not a good long-term solution. And, you know, probably some therapists would recommend like talk it out. But there's another option to always talking, because I like to say, ladies, talking is our thing, right? We feel closer through talking. A man feels closer through sex. You might actually be able to break the stalemate, basically, of bickering instead of loving, by just showing up sexier, more playful, more loving. And if you personally, if your body is, you know, if you have a pain issue, there's nothing wrong with giving a loving hand joy or blow joy, you know, just to be a loving person. If the person especially has devoted their entire sexuality to you, right? If they're committed in a marriage of monogamy, and there, we kind of have an obligation, basically, to be partners with our beloved. And if it means, you know, alternate besides penis and vagina intercourse, so be it. I mean, this will happen as we get older, regardless. 50% of men in their 50s have erectile dysfunction, 60% in their 60s. So it's not only endometriosis that could come in between a couple's, you know, intercourse. There's other conditions that could come in between it, but it doesn't mean that there isn't a variety of different forms of lovemaking, intimacy, touch, connection that can be had.
Totally. And I think you hit the nail on the head right there, right? It's not only penis and vagina, sex all of the time, right? Like intimacy doesn't always mean sex, and creating times, intimate times with your partner just makes your bond stronger, right? And like the example I gave earlier, it also like helps create safety inside of your body. So you guys can become closer and actually want those more intimate times, right? It's like a circle.
You can set aside, like, you know, date night is always popular. Talk about date night, going out to a restaurant, you know, talking, dressing up, things like that. But it's like, what about setting an intimacy night? And that could be, we massage each other, right? We cuddle, we massage, we talk. And if it leads to sex, it leads to sex. If it doesn't, you know, it could lead partially, you know, you could ask for a boob massage, right? Or an external massage, right? Most females don't climax from intercourse anyways. 2 out of 3 don't. So, you know, that might, even though we may blame the endometriosis for everything, 2 out of 3 women don't climax from intercourse. 4 out of 10 women have problems with low desire, lack of orgasms or even pain. So we're not alone in this respect. And that's where it calls for being creative and open to other means of connection and intimacy.
Yes. Be creative and explore different options. Cause I mean, everybody's body is different. Everybody's likes is different. And something that you like now doesn't mean that you're always going to like that. You know, it's okay to explore other avenues. If something's causing you pain right now, it might not cause you pain forever, right? But again, I think it all comes back to that open communication and figuring out like how to talk to your partner and tell them like, hey, this hurts right now. Can we try a different position? Or hey, can we do this right now? I'm not feeling good. It all ties back to that and creating that emotional safety within the relationship to create that bond.
Yeah, there's even something, I mean, my husband and I are practitioners of Tantra or sacred sexuality, and that can involve like just touch and heartfelt energy type communication. It's not talking really. So it involves like rituals and energy exchanges along with touch and really taking your time. And, you know, you can have energy orgasms that don't even necessarily involve genital touch. We have most of us have just tapped the surface of what our bodies and hearts are capable of. So that could be worth exploring.
That is amazing. Will you tell us a little bit more about that?
My husband can make me orgasm with just his eyes.
What?
Yes. If we are really in tune, absolutely. He can send me like love beams through his eyes and he makes me scream like that. But our connection also feels beautiful, right? Yeah. So we feel like super connected, super in love, you know, deeply connected. And there is a kind of an energy. You can cultivate things like more sensation in your body, tapping into energy. And you can do this thing through things like breath work, movement, sound, touch, visualizations. So a lot of us, we invest a lot of, you know, time and money and energy into our careers, our finances, our education, our hobbies even, but we don't do anything to cultivate our sensuality and our sexuality and our bond. And so those are things that absolutely can be enhanced. And that's what I offer women in my coaching. And I don't even need to work with a man. We just get one excited, turned on woman there who gets out of her head and is creative and knows what she wants, knows how to ask for it, feels confident, feels connected, and she can shift the whole relationship.
That's incredible. And so I think I love that you just talked about like breath work and embodiment practices. So what can somebody who's listening to this like do at home to like if they...
Okay, let me give a better example. Like if you're having or intimacy with your partner, right? And you're all up in your head. How can you, or what can somebody do listening to this to bring themselves back into their body?
Yeah, there's the, both the short term and the long term. So just as if people who learn, who meditate, it takes a while, right? The first few times you meditate, you might be 90% distracted, right? And then you do it more and now you're like 60%. Now you're, you know, and then half the time you can focus on meditation. So it could be a process, right? That you learn how to be more in your senses and out of your head, right? Because sometimes we, if you're too much in your head with judgment, anxiety, fear, you might even forget you even have a body. Right. So part of the practice is putting yourself into your body, doing things like a body scan, like a noticing from the tips of your toes, up your legs to any sensations, being okay with any sensations that are there, drawing attention to them and increasing your sensitivity so that over time you are more sensitized to your lover's touch or your own touch. But then there's even just the short term, which is take some deep breaths. It takes you out of fight and flight. It takes you into your rest and digest autonomic nervous system by just taking a few deep, slow breaths and breathe deeply so that you feel your lungs, you're rising and falling, you feel your belly expanding and contracting. So I invite your listeners to just take a moment right now and just take 3 to 5 deep, slow breaths, and then notice how much more calm you feel. And the best lovemaking is coming from a place where relaxation meets arousal.
Honestly, yes. And I know something that I do personally is concentrate on like the sensations that I'm feeling. So like touching and like what my hands are feeling. And like, if I notice my head, like my thoughts start to drift or something like that, like physically tell myself, think about like how his fingers are feeling on my skin, about like all of the things that are going on with us together. And it just like brings me back into what's happening. And it like electrifies things a little bit more because I'm paying even more close attention to like how things are feeling, you know?
That's a good point. And an exercise in doing that would be, we don't have to be both giving and receiving, touching and feeling at the same time. We actually can take turns, and that could increase your mindful presence, your mindfulness on it. Would be like, you know, one a night or one part of the lovemaking session, just receive, right? Just be touched and notice the touch and the pleasure of touch. And don't worry, your lover enjoys touching you. I mean, your lover probably more than anything wants you to be pleased and delighted and desire him. So you might have a night where you are just the goddess and you are receiving and you are noticing. And you might have another time where you are just noticing and touching this hunky body of your beloved, right? For your own pleasure. Not so much being up in your head, which is thinking, what would he like? What would he be? What's he thinking about this touch that I'm doing right now? But instead with the mindset shift of, ooh, what would I like to feel on this delicious man? You know, I want to feel this and I want to squeeze firm, or I want to use a feathery touch here or this or that. Touch him for your own pleasure. And notice that this is not selfish. It's the opposite, because it makes your partner feel cherished. You know, if you're into it, if his body is pleasing yours, then that makes your partner feel desired, which is a top desire of your lover.
Totally. And I mean, I'm sure we've all had those sessions where like you're both just like so invested, like energetically, like sexually. And it's like takes it to a whole new level, you know, like how you're feeling, all of the sensations, it just...
Yeah. And hopefully people have had that. I don't know that everyone has, or they only have had it at the beginning, because in the first year, maybe 2 years of a new relationship, there is a kind of a passion, right? There's mystery, there's risk. There is he going to call me? Is he going to marry me? This kind of, you know, fuels a kind of passion that's not really sustainable over the long term. The hormones change. They change from a hormone called PEA, which is really driving us to reproduce, procreate. We are mammals, after all. The survival of the species is dependent upon us having sex. So that happens intensely for the first year, maybe two. But after that, it's replaced with the bonding hormone, the cuddle hormone, oxytocin. So it's not necessarily like you can rest on feeling passionate for all your lives, but neither should you assume that the thrill is gone because you don't feel that way like you did at the beginning. So it's something that then needs to be cultivated.
And so how would you recommend people cultivate something like that?
Well, you are largely being responsible for your own turn on. If you show up, you know, if you show up all up in your head, full of thoughts, anxiety, judgment, your lifestyle is all stressed out, you know, I pity the fool that tries to seduce you and please you, right? It's not going to work. So we have to be largely responsible for showing up in a mindset that's open and receptive and even loving. And that could be improving our relationship too. If we show up with all our resentments, you know, how do we become more loving in our relationship outside the bedroom so that we feel more attracted and receptive and turned on in the bedroom? So take responsibility for the quality of your relationship, you know, for learning some things that actually turn you on, for reducing your stress levels, you know, and for getting embodied, right? Getting out of your head and into your body. So I would say that, you know, taking responsibility as you would for other areas of your life that you want to have growth and pleasure in.
Yeah, I love that because it's true. We take responsibility for so many other things in our lives. And then I know so many women, and myself included, in past relationships where you just get like comfortable and you just kind of, I don't know, like I know that I used to like expect them to do everything, but then when I was in pain and they would initiate sex and I would have to turn them down, it turned into like a whole thing that blew up because I was expecting them to read my mind.
Yeah. Your man is not a mind reader. He does not know what it is like to be you. He doesn't know what it's like to have a woman's body. You have an innie, he has an outie, right? Yeah. He has testosterone. You have estrogen. You know, you have endometriosis. He doesn't know what that's like. We have to take it upon ourselves to understand what we can do and we can enjoy, and then communicate that in a loving way. It's impossible to just show up and expect him to be a mind reader.
Totally. And I think it's even more important if you have pain with sex or pain with orgasm, or like certain things hurt you during certain times of the month, like figuring that out for yourself and then being open with your partner about it as well is detrimental. Or if you're not doing that, it's detrimental to the relationship, I think.
Yeah. So find some things you can enjoy, even if you're having a not the best physical time. Yeah. What else might you enjoy? You know, maybe you enjoy a boob massage or something like that, you know, something else. Maybe you enjoy giving him a loving hand joy.
Right. Well, and I think I loved your advice about having like the intimacy night where you're just like massaging each other or like tickling each other's arms or doing whatever it is without the goal of sex, right? Just like pure curiosity and strengthening your guys's relationship. I think, I mean, I know I'm going to do that with Eli. So I like that recommendation.
Yeah. And a way that might be feel really good and comforting is, let's say, you know, with clothes or without, doing the hero hold. Because if your man can put if you are doing like either spoons, right, you're either lying down doing spoons or you're sitting up against him, like he's at the headboard and he has his arms and legs around you so that your hearts are lined up, your genitals are lined up, and you just calmly breathe slowly. You just slow your breath and you don't talk. Intimacy doesn't always have to mean talking.
Right.
It can mean connecting without words. It can mean connecting through your eyes, doing an eye gazing exercise in tantric. We call it soul gazing because there is something so delightfully intimate about looking deeply into the eyes of your beloved while they are deeply simultaneously seeing you.
That can be scary for some people.
Usually they giggle at first.
Yeah.
But it's a lovely practice.
And so the hero hug, is that face to face or?
No, it's back to back. You're back spooning.
Okay.
Yeah. It's on my website, moreintimacy.net. I have a video on 5 ways to stop criticizing and start connecting in 5 minutes or less. And one of them is hero hold. Another one is if you feel a fight brewing or whatever, you just want to connect with your man, flash him your boobs. He can't resist it. He'll totally crack up. He won't even forget what you were about to argue about.
Right. Hilarious. Just kind of flash like your boobs. Get in there with some comedy.
Maybe it's sexy. Maybe you do it a sexy way.
Oh yeah. See, in my head, I'm like picturing being a goofball.
It is. It's cute, right? It will diffuse a fight. Try it, ladies.
Yeah. Hilarious. Well, I love this. And I think, I mean, I've gotten a lot out of this already, and I'm sure that everybody listening has as well. Is there any final things that you'd like to end on or a final note?
Yeah. I mean, I welcome ladies who want to improve both their marriages and be their husband's girlfriend. That's kind of my specialty. Be your husband's girlfriend. It's a great way to go through life. It's fun. It's playful. It's sexy. And he wants to please and delight you and be your hero when you are showing up at like his girlfriend with that energy, as opposed to, for instance, like his mother or his rival or his roommate, right? There's like an old adage that says women marry men hoping to change them and men marry a gal hoping she never changes. So why not go through life being his sweet, sexy girlfriend, you know, and it's just an energy. So that's one way I help women to relate to their man. And the other way is, what could be better than a bonding, pleasurable, connected, intimate life for being the glue that keeps you together and happy for the long term? And so many of the challenges actually emanate from the woman's brain. So I'm a psychotherapist, but this is not really a job for therapy for most people. It's not because it originated in, childhood trauma or mental illness or things like that. It's that women frequently, they just don't have confidence and worthiness. They don't know what they like. They don't feel emotionally connected. They're unable to get out of their heads. Maybe they don't prioritize their sex life or they don't have creativity. And these are not really things that are handled in therapy or even marriage counseling, but I've devised a program of coaching to get you over whatever's blocking your bliss and create your own unique pleasure roadmap. Because every woman is kind of different, you know? So what do you like? What excites you? And how do you communicate this to your beloved in a way that feels connected and not criticizing? So it's an art, it's a science, and it's a learned skill. So More Intimacy is the name of my coaching and my program.
Yeah. And I'll put your links below for everything. She has a Facebook group, so we'll link that, your website. Is there anything else?
Email. Yeah, there's a quiz. What's blocking your bliss on moreintimacy.net. I have a quiz. I have a blog with different articles, and I invite women to set up a complimentary call with me. What are you most needing in your life? What have you been your challenges? And let's see if we're a fit.
Yeah, totally. I love it. Well, thank you so much, Debbie, for coming on. It's always been a pleasure chatting with you. We've talked like 3 times over the last week. I love it.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yes. But we'll catch you on the next episode of the End of Babe podcast.